Blog Talk Radio.
This is Saida Garrett, and I'm tuned in to Intro to Info with my girl, Makeisha.
You are listening to Intro to Info with your host, Makeisha from D.C. That's me, open-minded, business-minded, spiritual, a little hood, and very nerdy and down-to-earth. And Queen of Hearts from Florida. She's so ladylike, family-oriented, quick-witted, and a real pillar in her community. On our platform, we discuss anything imaginable, but we talk a lot of pop culture, current events, and speak on our personal life experiences. We interview fantastic guests with unique stories, and Lord knows we just have organic fun. And check this out. If you want to join in on the fun, call in at 515-605-9376. We are live on Saturdays from 9 to 10 p.m. EST on the J. King Network. If you are an info for info, tune in to Intro to Info.
That's my theme song. Welcome to today's episode of Intro to Info. I'm your host, Makeisha, best broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. How y'all doing? How y'all doing? Happy Saturday. Today is 12/4/21, and we're in a place to be, me and Tamika. Tamika. Look, some of the fans, I'm going to take you off mute so I can tell you this, Tamika. Some of the fans came to me and they said, Makeisha, hey, we're nymphos for info, but we also nymphos. I said, that's perfect. You know, you could. That means you like sex and knowledge. So I just wanted to ask you: Are you a nympho for info? Or are you just a nympho? Are you both? All of the above? You A, B, or C? Which one? Well, I mean, what's up?
First of all, good evening.
Hey. Hey. What's up?
I don't think I'm a nympho. Not for other things, but I do like to have stimulating conversations. And maybe I'm part nympho, part regular. I don't know. I was told that I have a Scorpio friend, and I was told that we are very compatible with them as a Virgo, and they told me that we are the most underrated behind-the-scenes freaks.
You know what? That tells me everything I need to know. What's up to all of our nymphos for info and all of our regular old nymphos? We are here. We're live and under the color. Tamika is with me. She already done started clowning, so we're going to hit the ground running. Today is one of those open forum discussions. We got some guests lined up, you know, for upcoming weeks, but today we just chilling. All right, you cool with that, Tamika?
That's my motto.
Yeah, okay. All right, you cool with that? You cool with that? You cool with that? You cool. So, I had spoke to Tamika a couple of hours ago, and I told her to come up with a couple of topics. So she came up with a couple of topics. And I have some, too, of course, in the arsenal. So we're going to go back and forth. Who you want to start? Put the ball in your court.
This is your world, so you go fast.
Uh-oh. All right, let's go. So, guys. My students tell me I'm old because I like Facebook out of all the rest of the social media platforms. They say, you old. We like TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. That's what we like. That's you old. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. But Facebook has so much information on it. So one of the uproars this week was the little boy playing with the kitchenette set. And a lot of the parents were in the uproar saying that there's, I'm cringing that that's gay or that's feminine or they should have bought him a kitchen set, they should have bought him a car and all of these things. And so I ran about my mama
And my mama said, oh, no, Weeby, it's okay for him to have. She said, what color was it? Was it pink? I said, no, Mama, it wasn't pink. She said, okay, well, that's perfectly fine because a man needs to know how to cook. And so if he learns early, if his parents buy him a kitchen set as a young lad, that's fine. She took no issue with that. She did ask me about the color, though. But the parents were, by and large, just angry at the fact, and they were not in agreement with the fact that this young fellow had a little kitchenette set. So, Tamika, of course, I'm going to ask you to chime in. I agree with my mom, bottom line, but go ahead.
Yeah, I did briefly see something about that kitchen set, and they were like, why would you buy your son that? And to be quite honest, if he's into cooking or he likes to watch his mom or dad in the kitchen, for a black male, that has proven to be quite a career, right? You have Dee Garvin and some of these other people who have become very successful in the kitchen, and there's nothing feminine at all about a man who knows how to cook. It's actually a very attractive quality. And a lot of them can't. They'll just be like, oh, nah, babe, you go ahead. My wife, my girlfriend cooks everything. I can't. All I know how to do is make grilled cheese, if they know how to do that. And I think that is unattractive. So I applaud the mother for going out and saying, you know what, I'm going to inspire my kids to learn and be better than the average bear, okay?
Yes. Now, the whole gender role thing, of course, it kind of bugs me because I don't believe anything is black and white. You know, that's my theory. Mm-hmm. It really is. Nothing is black and white. Everything is a gray area. But I'll say this to those who really subscribe to gender roles. I want to use my late grandfather as an example. They say my grandfather couldn't even boil an egg because my grandmother did all of the cooking in the house, and then she taught my aunt how to cook from young, so he never had to worry about cooking. But where he was smart and where he made it work, and I say this emphatically, was he played the hell out of his gender role as a man because he took care of everything that you would think that a man should do. He took care of all of that, like to the T, just like my dad does. And secondly, he got him a wife who picked up all of them pieces. This is where he was smart, guys, because he played his role to the T, and he found a wife who was going to play hers to the T. Then they had a whole bunch of kids who played theirs to the T. So I'm like, okay, that works, like, really, really great. So if you go to subscribe to gender roles, then you really do have to be dope at it. If you're just going to say, oh, I'm a man, I'm always taking out the trash, you're a woman, you're going to always cook and clean and things like that. So I think that was really smart on his part. And then it's certain, even like my parents, my dad said he's not doing certain things because he said that's too feminine for me. My mom, she gets mad at it, but this whole gender role thing, it's what we were taught. I mean, do what you do. I'll take, you know, Tamika, go ahead.
No, I'm just listening. I get it. I mean, there's just certain things that are not, it's like, why does it have to be about a man or a woman? I was looking at, I cannot remember what it was. Was it on Instagram? They were talking, it was a wave, some kind of wave gel for your hair. And they were like, this is the number one man, you know, man wave gel or something. And people... So all the comments were just like, so when did hair products become gender attached? Like, you know what I mean? It was like, it was only for men. And almost every comment mentioned that, you know, like, why does it have to be for a man or a woman? Like, why is it just for a man? Like, it doesn't make any sense. But
yeah, it doesn't compute.
Yeah. Everybody wants to label everything. You know, I hate labels, like, especially when it comes to sanity. This, that labeling thing is so just I don't know if it's a trend or is it just, I don't know what it is. Like, people feel like they have to label themselves.
Because one of the ways that we learn is through association. So if you put a label on something, you could then associate that person, which is, it's easier to label something. So you'd be like, oh, you're a male. Okay, you, you know, have a penis and you grow facial hair. Like, I think that's part of the reason for labels, to make it so we can have something to assimilate something to, as that is one of the ways that we learn. But Tam, I just want to say, because in relation to this whole little guy with the kitchenette set, somebody put on Facebook, teach your sons that cooking and cleaning are basic life skills, not gender roles. And that is what brought it home for me. That's true. Mm-hmm. I realized like basic life skills. When I was in the Bahamas and I realized that I could still swim, but I probably need to go back for some lessons, because I want to be in the water, but I need to, like, be proficient with swimming, because you could lose your life real fast if you're not careful. But that's swimming is considered to be a basic life skill, regardless of gender. So it's cooking, and it's, to me, it's not limited to the role of the woman, because if there were no women, Thanos snap, women gone, and the man don't know how to cook, then what? You have to be able to go through, like, I mean, eating out or whatever, but no, if all of that was defunct and extinct, what you gonna do?
Hello.
What you gonna do? So, yeah, those basic life skills are necessary, and in my opinion, and to the fellas, learn how to cook, at least watch. Like, you don't never have to do it, but at least know how to do it if the moment called for it, if you really had to. In my opinion, y'all do what you want to do, but it would behoove you to learn how to poach you an egg or something, boil you some water, little noodles,
right,
little macaroni, little broccoli. Okay, it would behoove you.
you need to learn how to do something. I totally agree with that person. It is life skills.
Now, ain't nobody got to be no now. I don't know if y'all know this, but Tamika do chef stuff. She do chef stuff. Her the chef. What you call yourself, chef fly or something? What's the thing? Chef salad.
Fly salad.
She get down too. Like, she can really cook. I really wish she invited me over and made me some food, but. But just, like,
oh
in my house, you could actually come over my house and cook, and then, yeah, I could just, you know, yeah, I hold up my end of the deal in some other way, but yeah, she's really good. She's really good, so shout out to her. So if you're in the area and she starts to make her salads again, please reach out and patronize my friend who can really cook.
Yes, they can follow me on Instagram. I'm not selfish about the plug. At Fly Salad. This is S as in Sam, L-I-G-H Salads. Okay, thanks.
There you go. Sly Salads, baby. And so that was my first subject, so I'm going to pass the ball to you. What you got on over there with you? What are we talking about?
So, yeah, I need to touch on this. Portia and her new book it relates to, you know, sharing her brief stint with the infamous R. Kelly.
Okay.
Now, so she did in an interview admit that this was at the time in her life where, you know, she was on her own and, you know, she was doing her thing. But it was when she was having Portia moments, right? Portia has not always been known to be the brightest color in the crayon box, okay? So she felt like he did, you know, mentally have a mental effect on her, and you know, she said that she was there and she kind of had an aha moment, like, okay, it's like 3:00 in the morning, and I don't really want to be here, but I've been here for hours, and I know that now I have to sleep with him because it's like, why else are you here?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, wow. I mean, I'm looking at this interview like, okay, I don't know what to say. And then she was like, I didn't call him out because it's R. Kelly. I just called him out because that was a situation in my life that I went through, and it wasn't like the first, you know? So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
So remind me, she's like a reality star. Is that correct?
Housewives of Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was married to a football player previously, and he was supposed to be kind of found to be a gay man. So she dealt with that backlash as well.
All right. So, okay, to answer your question, what are my thoughts on this? You kind of briefed me on this earlier, and I've been seeing it. She's actually on some type of tour because a friend of mine was pictured with her, and he hold the book up. Shout out to my little brother, mm-hmm. Trail. But it's all right. At this point, this is par for the course for me, meaning anything that else that I hear about R. Kelly and hurting women, raping women, drugging women, peeing on women, underage women, anything to do something bad to a woman, I'm like, well, that's just a drop in the bucket. That's just a drop in the ocean because it's
mm-hmm.
after the initial, I don't know who initially started making these accusations about him, but after there was a special on it and it was woman after woman crying and his wife and his children all vouched for the stuff that these accusers were saying. It's a drop in the bucket to me. And I'm not mm-hmm. diminishing what Portia said because she's a big name and she shed even more light on the crap that he done. But it's like, am I shocked? Am I blindsided? Fuck no. And
no.
Fuck no times two. No.
Right. No. Not at all.
Not at all.
Exactly.
And
that's so sad.
Now, yeah. The other part to that, the other component that you mentioned was she said it was 3:00 in the morning and she felt like she had to do something sexual with him because of that ungodly hour. Shout out to Chloe.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good album. But at that ungodly hour, she felt like she had to. No, you really don't have to. I get the mindset, but you could have, Portia, you could have got out of there, Portia. You could have got out of there if you wanted to. Now, I want to ask you a question, Sam.
Yeah, I don't think she was a strong enough person mentally at the time.
And catch me if I'm being judgy, but if you know that you're not, don't put yourself in that situation. Like, you got to avoid it. So if you're in it, you don't have to feel pressure to do it. Now, how old was
mm-hmm.
she at the time? Because he like little mamas. How old was she?
I don't know how old she was. I haven't read the book, but, I mean, she's not that old now, you know? So she was probably young. You know, but she's, I guess, maybe I see her as she kind of used her looks and her body to get what she wants at that age. So, I mean, I guess she's still doing that, but, you know, now she's got a little celebrity with it, but I don't know. I just think when you dealing with that dude, that R. Kelly dude, it's a different type of, if you find yourself in relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
as a woman, I feel like those type of women, he only attracts a certain type.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time, and they could be beautiful women. It's not even about how you look. He feels that he can control the situation.
Yes.
So
yeah,
if you're not strong enough. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So I was just going to say, if you're not strong enough to completely think for yourself, then you're going to always fall into that trap.
And that's one of the things that a lot of those girls were saying, that he, like, when it had to be totally his way, sexually and otherwise, like, it had to go down exactly how he wanted it. You had to put on a dress like a boy if he wanted you to have sex with this girl and me, you know, him, I'm saying, at the same time. And it had to, like, he was not considerate sexually or while any of them girls was living with him. Like, not considerate. Yeah. Man, it's this guy.
He a trip.
Like, some of the stuff that he was did was straight up evil, though, Tam. Now, but here's where I'm going to go ahead and give a big up to the girls. Because, you know, I'm always thinking about business and money and how can somebody benefit. And okay, Portia, for whatever R. Kelly did to you, she about to make some money off that book, number one. Drea Kelly.
Hello.
Okay, she was on, what was that, Hollywood Exes. That paid her. She been on several shows. She do some type of public coaching, speakers type stuff. Woo, woo, woo. Get paid off for the hurt that he gave you. Go ahead, girls. All the ones that was on that, what was it, Netflix special or whatever. It was on, no, it was on the TV before the Netflix. But hopefully you got paid from that. Hopefully you did, girl. And anybody else who he might have done. Sparkle. Sparkle.
Hello.
Yes, girl. Get on Breakfast Club and tell her what they did to your niece. All right? For all the hurt and pain, for everything that he done put you through. Old bastard. Old talented, cute bastard. Oh, he's a bastard, but he is good looking now. And he's very talented. He is. Okay, I digress.
Yes, ma'am.
And honestly, when they were speaking about somebody was having a conversation about who would go up against him in the verses, you would be hard pressed to find anybody. That's because that's how much he has done for music. You'll be hard pressed to find somebody who would be a match for him musically. Okay, you'd be hard pressed. Now, speaking of verses, because I do make Tamika watch verses with me. I remind her. I'm like, come on. So she's seen Shaka and Stephanie, and I hope you saw 3-6 Mafia and Bone Thugs and Harmony, because we're going to talk about them. Okay.
I didn't see it yet.
You didn't see which one?
The Bone Thugs one. I haven't seen it yet.
All right, cool. So we'll start with, all right, we're going to start with the one that you didn't see. I was sleeping in my bed. All right, y'all, I got 2 cell phones and an iPad, and they all on the cloud. So if one bings, if I got one on vibrate and the other two on loud, it's going to bing and bong from the other device. So it's like 12-something midnight. I'm asleep, and my phone keep going off. And it's my close homies. It's Charletta, it's Ashley, and it's Takara and Sharon binging and bonging. Y'all get on the verses. Busy Bone showing his ass. Busy Bone fighting with 3-6 Mafia. So, of course, I toss and turn, wake up, and go watch it. because first of all, I should have been watching in the first place, because Bone Thugs and Harmony is one of the best things that ever happened to hip-hop, in my opinion. Like, they were up there. When we talk about my all-time favorites, they're in my top five. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Back. I'm reeling the back end, Tan. So, Busy Bone, he says, you ugly motherfuckers are not about to be mimicking us while we're on stage. And he just goes off, and then after that he throws either, it's like his microphone and his water bottle, and then they say he took off running. And then, and you know, Tamika, they had a lot of people on stage, so 3-6 side goes towards Bone side and vice versa, that you could see the fight, but it was real quick. It was like they was tussling, but it lasted like a minute, and then they quickly broke it up. And shortly after that, Busy apologized profusely, and then 3-6 forgave him, and they kept the show going, and they, of course, they ended with Crossroads. Like, I should have watched that versus, but somebody said that was destined to happen, because versus have all of them. First of all, where they kind of take a risk, I'll say, is they have people who used to beef with each other. I think Jeezy and Gucci used to beef, and they had a versus. And then you got 3-6 and Bone, who had a beef as well before going up again. So that's a risk. So, Tamika, you missed. You got to get on YouTube and watch it, yo.
So I am, trust me, I've been hearing a lot about it. Best believe I'm going to check it out maybe later tonight.
And they said that Busy has a lot of, like, demons from his childhood. Like, I mean, you heard about the thing about when he was younger, his mom's boyfriend, like, kidnapped him for, like, a little while. Yeah. So they said that he's still kind of dealing with that. He's addressed it before, but he has, like, demons like that. He has a lot of kids, like, a lot of kids. I see it because him and Crazy carry both thugs, if you ask me, but... yeah, so that's that first verse. Anything else before we go to Shaka and Stephanie, Tam, on that verse?
No, ma'am.
Oh, Lord. Let me tell you first. Oh, Stephanie and Shaka. So,
talk about it.
So you know that their fan base is of a certain age. They're seasoned, right? You know.
Yes.
81, 82, you know.
Not 81.
Listen. All right, let me tell you something. When I went to the Dionne Warwick concert, I was the youngest one day. I saw nothing but canes, gray hair, suits, like, you know, being gay. Like, it was
Cadillac.
Why do you want
to go to a Dionne Warwick concert?
First of all, she had Peebo Bryson and Denise Williams with her. Baby.
Okay.
Oh, I was
I
in
can
my
do those two, but Dionne Warwick, I don't want to hear nothing she got to say. Oh.
See,
yeah, man, she got some tickling white teeth. Like, I cannot. No.
Yeah, she does. She does. I love Dionne. What is wrong with you? I'm going to take you next time. Oh.
No, you'd be hard pressed to get me in the car. You will not.
She is, she's 90, like what the hell she is, she's 90. Not 80, not, yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a hit. See, you know what I'm saying, what does she say other than that, because I don't even know. Oh, I'm about to stand up, I got it, because I don't appreciate that, because you're insulting the legend is what you're doing. So I'm standing up, and I'm about to just start naming her shit. Do you know the way to
yeah,
San Jose?
Is she on Apple Music or she too old?
No, she is on Apple Music, but I'm going to do this. And this is for Howard University students. Listen up, if you don't know Dionne Warwick's catalog, Miss Best about to break some shit down to you. Okay. Do you know the way to San Jose? Mm-hmm. Never knew love like this before. Friends can be lovers. That's what friends are for. Boom. What's the joint she did with the Bee Gees? Why do you have to be a heartbreaker? Like, girl, I could be here all night talking about Dionne Warwick.
I don't know nothing about that. Wait, a house is not a home. Is that the Luther remake joint?
That's the
same song,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, okay, she was the original. So, see, yeah, she old. Yeah.
All right, okay. So I'm going to reel it back in because I have the propensity to jump off subject. But so look, Shaka and Stephanie.
Oh,
okay, it started at 9, and the DJ stalled until 10, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. 10.
Right.
Because Shaka, now my friend Brandon say Shaka was leaned over on the counter somewhere unconscious because that's when she first came out. She had me hollering for the moment she got out there because I could just see the whatever she was on,
right.
it manifested. Like, to the point where she was stumbling when she was standing up, Stephanie had to stand behind her, make sure she ain't fall, okay? She didn't know what song was what. She would just say, you remember she was with the group called Rufus. She said, oh, yeah, that's a Rufus song. Didn't know what damn song it was, okay? Didn't know the lyrics.
Nope.
Then she's good for screaming.
And I like Stephanie, too. I think I've always admired her. You know, like I used to, when I was about 11 or 12, I sang in the Washington Performing Arts Children's Gospel Choir, and she was the guest 2 years in a row. And so I sang in that choir, you know, with her, you know, she was, I didn't know, she was like my height, so it felt like, you know, kind of like, oh, okay, like this lady is really small, but she can sing her little heart out. So I kind of like, oh, wow, she's really great. Like, she worked with us, and I had a really cool time doing that at the Kennedy Center. But, you know, I liked her music, but Shaka, that is my girl. But, like, she, whew, that was so disappointing. Like, I just, poor Shaka.
Yeah, I mean, but it gave me a good kiki. And I didn't know that, by the way, what you said about singing behind Stephanie Mills. And a lot of the artists, a lot of artists are fun size. Like, a lot of them are very short, very petite. Like,
yeah,
for real.
Like, in person, you'd be like, well, I didn't know they were that short. Like, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Especially, like, Music Soul Child, a nigga like 3 feet.
He real short.
Yeah, he is.
No, he was not. And it worked for him, though. It worked for him. And at the end of the show, with Shaka, she said, fuck this shit. She thought the mic was off, I think. And it's just like the whole thing was a spectacle. I could not stop laughing. And then, to be honest, both of their, as you said, both of their catalogs are so wonderful. These verses, especially when they have these icons on, they take you, the songs take you back to places and times. A lot of people mention, oh, my mother used to play this record all the time. And so it's just, it's just that homage to classic R&B. So I really thank Swizz Beatz and Timbaland for kind of giving odes or nods to the classic R&B, and I also appreciate the fact that they did, Tamika, they did Kirk Franklin versus Fred Hammond. That was a really, really, really good one as well. And then, of course, they throw it, they got the rap. That's like what they do the most of, but I appreciate them for kind of expanding in that way.
Yeah, you know what? The only person that's left right is Anita Baker. And that
Go ahead.
I guess, you know, that era or age group, so to speak. But it's like, who would she go against? And I was like, I don't know. And so one of my coworkers was like, Aretha Franklin, and I was like, but she's dead. I'm like, what are you saying? So I don't know, because Gladys and Diva, they already went. Mariah Carey is never going to step on the Versus stage because she's the ultimate diva. So who do you think could she go up against?
I'm so glad you asked, because you know me. I sit and think and ponder over this stuff and take my time and come up with the best answer possible. I got you.
Okay.
Now, Anita Baker and Sade, boom. Then Mariah Carey versus the late Whitney Young, Gone on the Glory. But that, to me, is the closest person that could match Mariah. Then we would do, who I say to go with Janet? Was it Janet and Madonna? I think I said Janet and Madonna. And then, yeah. So those are the placement. Oh, and let's not forget Toni Braxton versus, and I said Mary J. Blige, and I want, so yeah, these are my verses in my head, and I want to pit Faith Evans up against somebody, so I'm still pondering on Faith Evans, but those are my matches right there. What say you?
Okay, so I don't know about the Madonna, because she's a pop. Maybe. But Mariah, like I said, she's not ever going on that stage. So that's a wrap. But then she, I feel like she's like the female Khaled because she wrote a lot of these songs. Like other
Who,
people.
Who, Mariah?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, she's a writer, too. And who else you say, Mary J? Somebody else has said, mentioned Faith and Mary J, but I don't. The problem is,
nope.
I think my comment was, Mary J is the fan favorite.
People's choice.
Absolutely. The queen, what is she, the R&B, whatever they call her. The queen of R&B or something.
Of
hip-hop
soul.
Yeah, something like that. Queen of hip-hop soul, something, I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah.
But like I said, Faith is a very, a lot of people love Faith, but Faith is not the fan favorite. And so they feel like, oh, well, she only had one or two hits. I said, but to be honest, she, just like Janet, to be a true fan of Faith, you know those songs that never made it to the radio.
Tamika.
She got bangers for days.
I put Toni Braxton with Mary J.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out who would go with Faith Evans. If somebody, I was about to say, like, Lettucey or something, but they what I think they kind of do is kind of, because Lettucey came out so much later than Faith, but
mm-hmm.
they both got
mm-hmm.
those rich vocals, the rich vocals.
So, no, I would put...
Oh.
Who?
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if I had to do, like, some, you know, now artists, it might be Lettucey against
mm-hmm.
Jasmine Sullivan.
Mhm.
You know, something like that. But I don't really have a personal faith. Like, I just don't. I just feel like seeing her only. That's my, I love her. Or Brandy. Well, Brandy's already been on there. That would have been maybe a pick for me.
Brandy and Faith. A lot of people want to see J. Hood, Jennifer Hudson, and Fantasia.
No, ma'am.
And they have the connection of American Idol as well. You said no. Why you say no?
What? First of all, Jennifer Hudson cannot sing. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about Jennifer Lopez. My bad. I was like, Jennifer Lopez? Hell no. Jenny from the Block? I love you, but no. J-Hood is fantastic. Yes, they are... So they are, I can see that. But J-Hud, she a little bit of a diva too. But I feel like Fantasia got that hands down for me.
Okay.
Jennifer can sing.
Yeah.
She can blow you out the water. But
mm-hmm.
as an overall round, well-rounded artist, I feel like Fantasia got that.
Sure.
Yeah, Jennifer hasn't done enough for me. But if they want to have the American Idol edition, then by all means. Right?
This is one of my favorite subjects. Like, I could talk all night about just music and verses and verses of the past, things like that, and who we would match who up against. You said... Now, let's go back because Janet is my all-time favorite, guys. So you said Janet would not – you think Janet and Madonna is not a good match, you said.
Mm-mm. No. Now, they probably
who could go against Janet?
mm-hmm. I mean, so let's look at – people will tune in because it's Janet. And let's be real. Like, the ratings for the verses is primarily us, right? We're the ones that's critiquing it. It's the Ciroc sponsoring it. You know what I'm saying? So how many people truly at this point are like, I'm touching Madonna fans?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, she was Vogue and all that was great when we was going up. But you know, I don't know. You know, I have to say I'm afraid that I don't know all her music like that either. Like Janet, I'm, okay. you know, very familiar. I don't know every song, but, you know, I'm pretty sure 90% of the verses I would know the song. Yes, ma'am. I know. Mm-hmm. I know. But the Madonna, I'd probably be sitting there like, I don't even know that song, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah,
so that's
yeah.
what you got before. Really?
This is my subject,
so with your little flask and your chicken wing, you ain't going to be trying to tell me what no song is, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
For sure, for sure.
You will be
thank
happening.
You. I cannot with you. So, so and then also I want to shout out Swizzy and Timbaland for bringing Versus was just a casual little like quarantine activity, and that they done turning into a production. Again, me thinking about the business, money, and potential. An opportunistic side, they did that. Because now you got to buy tickets to the event. You have to purchase mm-hmm. it even to watch on some platform. So I see
right.
that's very boss moves right there. Shouts out. So, yeah, shouts out to that. So, Tan, you got your next subject you want to talk about. If you forgot, I do remember. But, yeah, it's your turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ain't forget. About this damn superhero Omicron variant they got out here.
Yeah,
and they're just like, there's six more cases of me. I mean, it's pretty much how the whole pandemic started to begin with, around the same time. It's all over again, basically. And some of the experts, mostly black doctors, have already said that when we got into the first one, that this shit was going to die down and people was going to do this vaccines and we're going to have another variant and there's going to be more than one variant and they're going to probably try to shut us down again to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say it'll probably mm-hmm. eventually completely go, maybe, for a few years, you know, and then about 10 years from now, this shit will come back. Again, so this is just the predictions, and one doctor I was telling you about, Dr. Lane Rowling, he's a mm-hmm. black doctor, and he pretty much everything that he said that was going to happen this day one of this pandemic has actually happened. As far as mm-hmm. the way they have treated this with the public and all the different, you know, variants and them saying the numbers are going up, the numbers are going down. Put on a mask, don't put on a mask. Like, it's too much. I don't know. But what are your thoughts
yeah.
about this? Oh.
I said it and I'll say it again. It seems so strategized to me.
Mm-hmm.
Seems strategized. It seems like it's something more to it. I don't trust everything that we're being told. For one of the first times, I'll say, in my life, I can say that with conviction because most of the times I do tend to believe what we're told via, like, mm-hmm. journalistic articles and the television, but something, my sixth sense is telling me that this is just, something is not right about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, because, you know, when you have that gut feeling, it does not tell you nothing else but that it is not right. It does not explain. And so that's why I'm kind of at a loss for words, because all I know is this does not feel right. Bottom line. And I love that about, like, your gut feeling, your sixth sense, even, like, with the Holy Spirit, when, like, God talks to you, he don't go back and forth with you. He just tells you what he needs you to know, and it's like kind of he, like, go on to the next one. And that's what this don't feel right, this whole thing. I did get my vaccines and my booster, And I got pushback from friends and stuff, especially my conspiracy theorist friends. Why are you getting the booster? I had this one white woman tell me, why do you have that mask on? God will protect you. I said, boo, I had corona. I don't want no more cocoa. That's what she told me. And I said, I'm gonna stay calm here because this could easily turn left because I'm willing to defend that my COVID ran through my family and we all experienced that. I don't want that to ever happen again. So don't make me mad, white lady, up in here. And it was a church event, so I said, okay, I really had to monitor myself and be emotionally intelligent to her. So
you should have been like, Karen, why are you talking to me, Karen?
Oh, Karen was, and it was like 300 people there. And I was like the only person with a mask on. But I wasn't about to take my mask off. I don't care if I was the only one. It don't matter. Like, I'm not taking my mask off. This is too risky. Y'all hugging and hugging and a kissing. And I don't want no part of the danger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But just, to answer your question, like, what's my thoughts on it? The Omicron variant, what they call the Omarion variant. It's just, like I told you, Tam, it's just par for the course. Like you said, the guy made the predictions. It's probably going to be some more variants. I just feel like somebody stomps their toe and be in a bad mood and be like, oh, let me just tell them it's a new variant. It's just something dang right about it, Tam. Shit.
I know. And there's always, I feel like, and like you said, I don't trust anything the media says. I don't trust nothing these politicians say. I don't trust none of it. And typically when something is big in the media, there's always something else going on that they're trying to get your attention off of. Mm. And I think a lot of people were saying, you know, the vaccine was a distraction because of them putting up all these 5G, you know, towers and these radioactive things that nobody's focusing on because their attention's on COVID all day, 24/7. So there is an agenda here. Do we know what it is? No, we probably won't see it for some years now, but it's always an agenda when it comes to mass production and biowarfare and just things that affect the world. You know, this has affected the world, not just one country, the world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the ability that someone or something has the capacity to do that just speaks volumes.
Yeah. It does. But if you read the book of Revelation, this is one of the prophecies that was in it, and to see it actually play out in our lifetime, because before us, there were things like the Spanish flu and other viruses that just had these huge impacts, but to see it in our lifetime, and not only to see it, but have been a part of that demographic, when they name those numbers of cases that my family is in that number, and my uncle who passed away, it becomes super personal. You're not just hearing about it; you were a part of that directly, and so it humbles you. It makes you know that it is real, right? And that we do have to be careful. We have to remain careful. Because COVID don't love nobody. Tam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wanted, and that's another thing. I always shout out Howard. I love y'all. Okay. But speaking of experiencing things directly, my homie, shout out to my homie, he just came back from the Dominican Republic. And this is another subject that I just wanted to touch on. The way that people in third world countries lived, again, it's different to see it on a documentary or to hear about it from just somebody who on the TV screen or something, but when you have a homie who told you all about this trip beforehand, he was excited to go, excuse me, then he goes, and then he comes back and shows you his findings and what he saw and how primitively some people still live, again, you are impacted directly. So to know, Tamika, that some countries still have one bathroom that an entire community shares, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the streets do not have pavement, the fact that Tamika, when they go to the bathroom, when we go to the bathroom, we flush it, we don't see it no more. But them, their drainage is when they walk outside, it's in between like the land, and you get to see the drain. Oh my God! They're like the showers. You don't in every case have privacy. She said he's seen exposed people taking showers and everything, and I was in such shock because we don't experience any of that in America. Did you know all of this stuff still happened in 2021? You knew
it's
that.
Never a time in since we've known where there haven't been the haves and the have-nots. Right. And yeah, and it's the people that run the countries living fabulous, and everybody else is just there making it, surviving, and that's a lot of that is what comes from, you know, when they have one family member or family that lives in America, right? Or the United States, so to speak, that they feel like you made it. That you got over here, you started something. Even if you work at Walmart, it don't even matter. It's the fact that you was able to get a job, you might have a car, you know, you have the privilege and the means to use public transportation and walk on sidewalks and, like you said, take showers in your apartment or wherever you live and still send money home to them.
Yes. Yes. And thank you for saying that, because that's something that you see a lot of for people who were not born here, who have family still, like they love saying back home, like that phrase is just, that's their phrase, back home. And you're right. And a lot of them, they send money back home, and it's like you don't know why. But from what I see now, I understand why. And then the money, our money is worth more in a lot of those countries.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so,
greatly.
Seeing that was just humbling, and then it's not a house, that's like a hut or a shack. Like he said, as soon as you step foot in the house, you in the kitchen. So the first footstep you take in that house, you in the kitchen, and you take one over to the right, you in the bedroom. Like it's no, and then and it's like a family. This is a family's house.
Sometimes the meals, you know, or just could be some porridge. You know, having grilled fish and crab and, you know, how we do, you know, all of that, that's a luxury meal. The whole village might have, you know, they go get fish and grill it up and everybody takes a little piece of this and piece of this. And nobody had no whole fish today, so. So it's just the thing, I believe that it's humbling in people in America or just abroad don't fully, unless you've been there or you've seen it or you've lived it, they don't fully know that we have so much more, so many more advantages. And we just wait and we just, you know, that we're not grateful for everything that we have. because it's expected. Mm-hmm.
And it's
like
all we
four
know
here, not
we,
four there.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm not a geography buff or anything, but I do believe that there are more third world countries than there are first world countries. Am I right, or do you know?
I don't know. I don't know.
I would imagine that. Mm-hmm.
That is probably close.
Yeah, like you can name them. It's not like, because I could name a few offhand, and it's a whole world that I need to consider. But I know U.S., Canada, like Europe, France, like it's like only like a couple of handfuls of like first world countries, if I'm not mistaken. And by and large, the world is not first world. Is not comprised of first world countries, and I do want to look that up and research that. And I appreciate the people who have a lot of money who make contributions to these countries. I think Africa is not a country; it's a continent. Continent is like Africa. I think that Africa has some rich places. So you have to break that down country by country. Right? It's okay, yeah. So yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm about to look this up.
Every country in Africa is not a bush, people. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's be 100% clear about that. It's some money in Africa. Listen. Do not sleep on Africa, okay?
Yep.
And I'm not talking about South Africa. I'm talking about the entire continent. Right.
All right, so I just looked it up.
I only trust in white Africans, but, you know.
What? It's a white African?
Them South Africans. Them white, them British. I'm British African. Mm-mm. Nah.
So, Tamika, this website says that there are 25 first world countries. And just for this, because I would love to just name them, because I feel like it's going to teach us. And so that does answer my question. Oh, this is touchscreen. Okay, I did buy a touchscreen. It worked. The world is not... first world. So you have Luxembourg, Ireland, Switzerland, Norway, USA, Denmark, Netherlands, Iceland, Austria, Germany, Sweden, Australia, New Zealand, mm-hmm. Belgium, Canada, France. So I was right. Yay. United Kingdom, South Korea, Japan, Italy, Israel, Spain, Portugal, Turkey, and Greece, guys. So that's 25.
Okay. I thought Japan would be in there.
You did? I didn't think that they would.
Yes, they are very much advanced community. Mm-hmm.
So we taught the people something tonight, Tamika. We taught the people something tonight. So I feel good
how
about
many
that.
Third
guys.
World
just,
countries are there?
I'm looking right now. I'm looking. Let's see here. More. Hang tight. Let me see. Yeah, I'll tell you right now, this is more than 25. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I'm going to just name a few of them just for good measure. Okay. Croatia. Romania, Serbia, Slovenia, Kenya, which is in Africa, Morocco, Nigeria, why in the third world? Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and Vietnam, all considered third world countries. But it's more. So it's more than 25.
Yeah.
Guys. So I think that most of our listeners are from the US of A, So I just want to leave you guys with this message to appreciate the fact that you live in America, whether you consider yourself poor on up to the top 2%. Like Tamika said, the poor here is not the poor there. It's not. So, and I also want to say that the fact that you're over here puts you at an advantage, because if you are poor, you don't have to stay poor. And this is why we teach and preach and have all of these special guests on here to kind of teach people that are wealthy, who done are self-made millionaires and entrepreneurs, listen to what they're saying and try to apply it to your own life so that maybe you don't have to stay poor. Oh, Tamika, we got to wrap up. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, guys, we got to go. Okay, all right, boom, 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 boom. All right. I'm your host, Makeisha. We are on same bat time, Saturdays, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tamika is at my side. Queen of Hearts is off doing her. She's doing a baby shower today. So, but we thank you for your listenership. Shout out to the J. King Network. Shout out to Mr. Lynn Tolliver Jr. And Blog Talk Radio. And shout out to my parents. I love y'all. You guys stay safe. And we'll be back next week. Thank you, Tam.
Yeah, you know.
You know.